So there was some persecution and etc. that came, and it was not justified because there were accusations that were not true. And I remember I was called to a meeting in a room in up in Penang, and a person who was there who was not open to the charismatic move. The main reason was because the person was not really open to the charismatic move. But when the person heard that doors were opening, what the person in the end wanted to do was to close down those doors. And it was not easy for me to take it at that time because I was quite young in the ministry. After going through a few scars and all that, the heel is a bit tough, you know. And you can take it. But when you're young, you can't. I remember the first rejection I ever had from brethren was when I was 18 years old and I was still in a seminary. And I remember how I phoned in the intercom another brother in the Lord who was 2 years my senior, and he says, and I said, I want to go home. Couldn't take it. And he came and prayed for me, gave me a hug, and we learned. But that was very difficult because we had just launched forth into a field ministry. And I remembered, I felt so rejected that I cried for 24 hours. So you cry for 2-3 hours. You haven't know what it is to cry until you cry for 24 hours. Cry for 24 hours, non-stop. Didn't sleep. So I could imagine a little bit what David mentioned here and what Joseph possibly went through. The anguish of his heart. And so sometimes as we read, that's why the book of Psalms is there, to let us know that feeling that is inside. All those things that possibly could have taken place. How beautiful the Holy Spirit has placed it all together. And then Psalms 39, Joseph is now with Potiphar. And if you remember Joseph's place with Potiphar, all the Bible gives you in the book of Genesis is how he prospered. But it's not just that. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 39, we read how in verse 1 he was sold to Potiphar's house, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And we read, oh, he just became a successful man. There's a lot of effort involved that we may not know. How do we know more of these details? The book of Psalms can give you a lot of these details. It tells you in chapter 39, verse 1, how to prosper like Joseph, how to progress and be successful like Joseph. And in verse 1, I said, I will guard my ways. See, how was Joseph prosperous? Because Joseph was a righteous man. Did you notice that he prospered because of righteousness? He didn't prosper because of other areas. He was a good man. He did righteous things. The Lord was with him. How was the Lord with him? Because Joseph was with the Lord. That's quite obvious, isn't it? The Lord is with him because he was with the Lord. What kind of preaching is that, brother? Well, we become with the Lord when we follow the commands of the Lord. And that one portion of his life in Potiphar's house was his righteousness that stand out. And of course, you know the other part of the story where Potiphar's wife continually came to him and said in verse 7, it came to pass, we are now in Genesis 39 verse 7, and it came to pass after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. Now, I want you to know, she didn't just do it once. She already had the intention earlier on. And that may not be her first case. She may have done it with many other slaves. But Joseph was the first slave that said no. She says, funny slave. And then It says here in verse 8, Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house and has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has not helped anything except you. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Verse 10, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day. Day by day by day by day. Day by day. And you wonder what it was like. What were the experiences like? Psalms 39. Psalms 39. Joseph in Potiphar's house. And Joseph held his tongue. He is a man who got his tongue. Perhaps all the other slaves always murmur, murmur, murmur. But Joseph was one who never said the wrong word. That was how he found favor, my friends. So when we read in the Old Testament how he got favor and how he prospered, these are the things that tell us in detail. And then it tells us here, I was mute, I did not open my mouth in verse 9. Several times we talked about how he didn't open his mouth to protect or whatever. In verse 11, when we rebuke the correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is a vapor. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears. I can imagine that Joseph struggled and cried to the Lord. This was not the kind of job he wanted. And it says here, he's a stranger. For I'm a stranger with you. I'm a sojourner as all my fathers were. And he was in a strange land, not really his own. And so Joseph asked, you know, he struggled. Then chapter 40, Joseph in the prison. Psalms 40, Joseph in prison. And you can see him crying unto God. But do you know that something took place in prison that was vitally important in his life? There's something new. And in Psalms 40, it talks about a newness that takes place. Verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Verse 2. He has brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Now, when he was thrown in prison, he could have been thrown in one of the worst dungeons. Because Potiphar was one of Pharaoh's soldiers and a captain. And so he would pass a severe sentence. And he was thrown right there. But yet, when he cried to God, God raised him up to be the chief prisoner. He became prisoner number one. Prisoner number one, come here. Yes, sir. That is chapter 40, and all his feelings were there. Yet, he continued with God. God gave him a new song. God gave him a new revelation. He had a new ministry in prison. And he ministered to the butler and the baker, as you remember. And suddenly, in prison, a gift started operating tremendously in his life. The gift of the interpretation of dreams. There's a newness that took place. Finally, in Psalms 41, Joseph and Pharaoh, the other portion of his life, how he excelled and how God promoted him. And verse 12 tells us in Psalms 41, verse 12, as for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. See, the Lord lifted Joseph up. And you can read some of these things, and what the Holy Spirit has recorded is to help us begin to enter deeper into the picture of the Pentateuch, that we could draw forth the truths, the experiences of all that they have. That is why, for some of you, when you read the Bible, it doesn't quite read like a novel. But it reads like just truth, 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 and all those truths. Sometimes it does, though. Like Song of Solomon, or something which is not too far away. Right, let's need a few books up. Where it describes, you know, like, the Bible doesn't, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Like, on a dark, cold night, as the wind was blowing, the music was playing softly, suddenly, you know, all these things. Sometimes it does, sometimes the accounts of Jesus Christ. But as you know, a novel goes into details, description, creates suspense and everything. But if you take the book of Psalms into the picture of the historical books, you begin to understand and it helps you to bring it together and have a clearer picture of what took place. It helps us, Psalms helps us to visualize where the historical books gives us the facts. Book 2 of the book of Psalms is the book of Exodus. Book 2 of Psalms ties up to the book of Exodus. And you will notice that in book 2, there is a whole section on judgment. Because in the book of Exodus, there are two major areas. The first part is judgment, 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 10 plagues. Then the second part is God and His people in covenant. They meet God on Mount Sinai, if you remember that. It was in the book of Exodus that Moses met God and took down the tablets, the Ten Commandments tablets. And so there were these two movements in the book of Exodus. When you think about Exodus, what do you remember? The 10 plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, and then Moses in Mount Sinai. See, the major valleys and mountains, the major events of the human life and the life of a nation is always there in the book of Psalms somewhere as you relate the two together. Here are where you find the 10 plagues in book 2 of the book of Psalms. Book 2 is from chapter 42 to chapter 72. And you will notice that as you read, all the first part of the book 2 talks about preparation and all those things that Moses, the preparation of the man, of the Moses, the man of God. Always God prepares a man, and all those things will lead to you. Many principles you can draw about how to be prepared as a man of God. From book 2, from chapter 42, right up to chapter 49. Talks about many different areas. And then in chapter 50, the judgment begins. See, in chapter 50, it talks about God as the judge. There are 10 judgments. Chapter 50 and chapter 51. You know, this is the psalm is about David repenting because of his sin with Bathsheba. And that was a judgment that he was facing also. Psalms 51. Judgment for sin. And Psalms 52. The judgment on the wicked. Psalms 53. And judgment on the godless, Psalms 55, and it talks about those who are treacherous and how the judgment comes upon them. And you notice how David calling on for judgment in verse 9, "Destroy, O Lord." Do you see that? Psalms 55, verse 9, "Destroy, O Lord." You say, "Wow, how can David do things like that?" So it tells us that when you begin to understand that the book of Psalms are trying to point to the poetical Pentateuchs, and you understand how suddenly this whole section talks about judgment and destruction. Psalms 56. And it talks about the oppressor again. All these whole lot of Psalms that talk about oppression and talk about God's deliverance that comes. And Psalms 57, safety from the enemies. That looks like while all the plagues and the hailstorm and everything was happening in the land of Goshen, they were always protected.